So are we live?
Okay, Cindy.
Okay. All right, this is the Library Advisory Board meeting of July 16th, 2018, and I'm calling it to order at 5:30 p.m. Everyone appears to be here. Cindy Combs, Will Grunlund, Jennifer Johnson, Sue Matthews, Joan Reichel, Doris Wells, Bill Higgins, and Jason Makowiak. All right, the very first item is approval of the minutes. Everybody was sent the minutes. Does anyone have any additions, corrections for the minutes? If not, we will accept them as mailed. And let's see, any correspondent and communications, Jason?
The Altered Book Show is coming up really quickly. Sharon, when is that?
Saturday, August 25th.
August 25th.
At Central School.
And if anyone's interested in making an altered book, you've got time. It just needs to be dropped off, I think, that Thursday. So.
Okay. Anything else? Any more communication? If not, we'll go to call to the public, and we do not have any public. So we'll go to old business, and we have none. New business. Jason, would you do State of the Library?
Yes. So in the papers that are in front of you, I just put together some fun graphs. I did the, since this was the end of the fiscal year, I did the whole year statistics for 2017 to 2018. And the first one with the graph that's red and purple, it's comparing 2 years ago from 2015 to 2016, just to show you where we're at and how we've grown in terms of this one. This first one is just looking at children's checkouts. And it's pretty phenomenal, the change, because if you look in the little green box at the top, if you look at 2015, there was 4,572 checkouts, and in 2017, which we just ended, it was 10,690, so that's 6,118 more checkouts.
Wow.
For all these categories that you see below. So it's kind of,
kind of amazing.
Blown through the roof here.
It is.
So it's really exciting. And then I just have it broken down. If you look at the bottom of the graph, the easy books, those are our picture books, which saw an increase of over 1,600. I mean, everything is up. If you look, easy audio, that's music CDs for children. Easy audio books are books on CD. Juvenile graphic novels, so like the comic book books, is a new category, a new collection that we created this past year. So that's just, I mean, that's 869 extra checkouts just for kids reading books. Juvenile fiction is way up, that's an extra 435. Nonfiction is up, J videos are up. And there's also, we also added a lot of educational nonfiction DVDs for kids. So that's also reflected in that. And the young adult graphic novels is a new category, and that was 222 that we checked out. Young adult fiction is up a little bit, as well as young adult video, but I think that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Jason, do you think that the junior nonfiction, do you think that's partly school stuff, you know, that they're reading, or is it, do you get the sense that it's just that they're interested in these nonfiction books?
I think it's a little of both. We've really tried to make our nonfiction fun.
I love nonfiction.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel a little bit alone.
So. Yeah. Actually, no. You'll see that Bisbee loves nonfiction. But it is some schoolwork, but a lot of just fun, you know, like the Guinness Book of World Records is a nonfiction book, and I mean, that thing gets checked out constantly. Hi, Joan.
So I think your point was well taken there. Just is the, like, the Montessori school kids coming to and checking, like their teachers are checking out lots of books, or the Seventh-day Adventist school, they come, or do Greenway make a field trip, or do teachers say, hey, I need 50 books for my project?
Well, we do have school trips. We do have the Montessori checks out books, and the Christian school comes and does work there. They actually work on projects.
But they check out books, too.
And they check out books as well, yeah. Yeah, and we do have some Greenway classes that have come through, just kind of to get used to the library, and Allison and I kind of just make a fun kind of
mini program. We also have homeschool parents come in who are working. We have students come in after school, and also we do have the youth who are simply just interested in subjects who check books out on their own.
Sure, absolutely. So then my next comment question could be, how's the library card application thing going?
It's great. We made one for the Christian school specific for them. We are working on one for NACO. We still have it in the registration packet of Greenway, Lowell, and the high school. I've already talked to the new principal at the high school, who's Darren Giltner, the new principal at Lowell, who is Laura Miller, and the new principal at Greenway, who is Jenny McBeth. And I've reached out to all three of them so that at the beginning of the school year, we will be going in doing a little presentation for the teachers, specifically to update them on all of our resources, both online and in the library, as well as the upcoming annex. We've created I think we've mentioned this before, a web page just on our Copper Queen Library webpage that is vetted student, teacher, and parent resources with databases and other resources that is specifically for the BUSD. So we'll just go in and make a presentation at each school for each of the teachers according to the age group, and remind them that we will actually set up these, especially field trips for Greenway, who really takes advantage of it, and do mini programs and to make sure they all have library cards.
Swell, thank you.
Yeah, and NACO has a new superintendent.
Yeah.
And Tom Carlson met with him, and he's very, very eager to start working with the community, so we'll probably be meeting with him pretty soon to see what we can do, so.
Yeah, we reached out to a couple teachers at NACO as well to work with them.
And then the next page is just overall checkouts, and you can see that even comparing the 2 years that this year we've checked out 13,986 more items overall than 2 years ago. And that just shows you an idea. Adult books are way up, kids books that we just talked about, music CDs, DVDs, and I added our new seeds. This is an interesting statistic that in our first year we checked out 411 packs of seeds from our seed library. Mm. So I think that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. And that's 4 months. Mm. That's how long we've had the seed library open.
What's the most popular?
All of them.
Yeah, it's anything and everything.
Oh, really? Okay. Cool.
So we'll see what happens when it's time to replenish the seeds, if people actually harvest them and bring them back. We've been trying to encourage that, and our garden club is really successful, and it's a core group of people that come and meet each month to
So these are all heritage seeds and they will breed true?
These are, yeah, these were the seeds that we got. Kathy Park, our library assistant, got, she wrote a bunch of different seed companies in the spring and to see if they would donate, and we had a really good response.
That's
so
beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful, beautiful seeds. I actually grew some myself in the spring, and it was delicious.
And we have some planted on the balcony at the library, the cucumbers and tomatoes, and we'll be planting a fall crop as well. I think beets and carrots.
Yeah, we're gonna start using some of those containers to have like a demonstration garden that, and we want to get the kids involved so they can actually see it grow and then actually pick something. So.
And we actually just got a legacy donation, a sponsor of the seed library, Marguerite Connors, is making quarterly donations in the name of her sister. So thank you, Marguerite.
And then the last one, the interlibrary loan, is books within the county that other libraries are borrowing from us. And Jennifer can attest to this because she comes in every morning and pulls the hold list for what people request around the county. And we're way up. We're almost 1,200 more items that we're sending out in the county courier system. So. That's impressive because people are finding our stuff all around the county and wanting to use it. So that's a compliment. And then the next page is just, this is the data that the Arizona State Library likes to have. Some of it's a little more interesting than others, but you can see the 3 years I have here, this past year and then 2016 to 17 and 2015 to 16. So you can see where we're up. I think the most interesting thing is adult patrons, which is, and juvenile patrons, which is right kind of in the middle of this chart. But we're seeing a lot more people come through on a daily basis. And we got a new front door counter, so we have a more accurate count of people that are coming in.
Now that top line that says holds place by staff for adults, that's gone down because people are getting more capable of doing this online? Is that what we presume?
Yeah, I don't know. You can look at that a couple different ways, but yeah, either they're comfortable. See, if you see a little bit below, it holds place by patrons. That has increased, that maybe they are more comfortable placing it themselves, or they're just finding stuff in our library that they don't need to request anything else because they're happy with what they have. But definitely, we're trying to help people learn the computer system so that they're comfortable placing holds. I mean, it really is a cool thing. You can do it from the comfort of your home and just with the click of a button. Programming way up. I mean, that's Allison and her fantastic programs. I mean, this past year we saw 4,399 adults attend our programs, which is a huge number. And kids programming, slightly down from last year, but still impressive. Questions answered at the desk, every time we answered the phone. Internet, you can see internet's going down. A lot more people, I think, have, and we don't have a way to keep track of people that could just come in and use our wireless. And a lot of people do that, either with their phone or their laptop or their tablet. But actually, the physical number of people that are using the public computers is down a bit. Volunteer hours, so thankful for all that time that people spend to help us out. It's so appreciated. You can't say that enough.
Absolutely.
And they're a great group of people, and it's fun to see them on a daily basis, so that helps.
I find it interesting that interlibrary loans lent by BSBY inside of district is much higher than borrowed by this.
Yeah.
That speaks to a good collection.
Yeah, that does, absolutely. And that's what it means, yeah, other people around the county are taking notice of our collection and...
Hasn't our music CD collection outpaced...
Yeah, our music CD collection has surpassed, just the physical amount of CDs has surpassed Sierra Vista, so we actually have, we're the library that has the most holdings for music CDs. And that's pretty cool, too. That's one of my favorite collections, actually. We added 330 adults with library cards and 51 juvenile library cards over the past fiscal year. And then the last one is just an overall for the year. You can just take a look at the major categories and the amount that got checked out. I always like these graphs. Obviously the big red are DVDs, but if you combine all the books, which is pretty much the rest of the stuff, it's had a fighting chance. And that's my statistical report.
Okay. And staffing report?
The new fiscal year started July 1st, and Allison is finally at 40 hours a week. We are thrilled.
Yay.
Which is actually a big deal, but from 30 to 40, that's 10 extra hours of work each week, which is, we're really happy for that.
It really helps. It's wonderful.
And Kathy, 19 and a half hours, and we're starting to look at hiring our grant-funded position for the San Jose Annex. We're going to be meeting with Dan this week from personnel to see what kind of applicants we got. So we don't know anything about that yet, but we're going to be taking a look at that. But I think we've got some good applicants just in terms of people saying that they applied. So we're going to be doing that. And then coming up soon, we've been allocated 10 hours to hire someone as for a part-time position to help us open back up on Saturdays. So thank you to Bill Higgins for helping us get that.
Definitely. It's really going to make a difference, that small amount of hours, but that's when we have a lot of tourists. There have been a couple days where we were open on what happened to be, you know, a holiday or a tourist being in town, and people saying, this is the first time we've been to Bisbee so many times and we've never been able to come in here. This is amazing, you know, for our patrons who never are able to get there during the week. It's just going to be a really wonderful thing to be open.
Yeah, we're super excited. I mean, that's really going to boost our statistics, too. I mean, that's a lot more people walking through the door. That's a lot more things getting checked out. So super excited about that, to have our big building, downtown Bisbee, open for everybody on Saturday, to even visitors to come up and hang out in our balcony and eat their lunch and come in and take a look around. So we'll be meeting with the personnel director again and trying to get that started and get going.
With Santa Laura, we set up, you reckon it would be like 6 hours, 4 hours, 10 to 2?
When we were open before, it was 10 to 2. We'll have to talk to Dan, personnel, and see how we can work that, if that person would work a little bit, a couple hours on Friday and a couple hours on Saturday, to figure that out. But the town's going to go ecstatic. They're going to be so happy.
Absolutely.
And we want to give thanks to Mr. Higgins and
yes.
Mr. Davis for this, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Pushing it through. Appreciate it.
Great.
Yeah, that was a, that was
He's
a...
blushing.
It would have been difficult for the rest of the council members to vote against that. So it was universally, everybody wanted it.
That's true.
Nobody was against that. It was really kind of a slam dunk because so many people expressed an interest in having it open on Saturday, and not just locals. Like Allison says, it's great for the tourists also. So, and a lot of people tell me that they work during the week, and the only time they have an opportunity to get to the library, check a book out, or take one back is Saturday. So I think you're going to be busy on Saturday.
Yeah, we will.
Yay.
And that covers the staffing report.
Okay, programming.
And Jason has the newsletter included in here, so I wanted to just highlight, or did you already?
No, you can definitely.
So mobile printing is super cool because we did get a new printer. Our old printer was the last of its kind. It has been put in the museum now, and the RICO Museum. And this means that you can send your documents through email to our printer, and it gives the sender a code, and then they can do this from home or from inside the library. We don't print until they give us that code, then we print and they get it. It's a really, really great service, and it means that, and this is in part, so instead of going up to the public computer to print a digital document, you can print directly from your email on your phone or your tablet, so you don't actually have to do that intermediary step with that device. So it's awesome. Or if you're at home at night, you can send it and go in the next day to pick it up. the pickleball rackets and balls, we've got a new, six new sets donated by Sloan and Danielle Boucher-Bay, and we're super excited because there's a new bocce ball courts going in Vista Park. And Sloan and Danielle are also going to donate 3 bocce ball sets to our Library of Things. And so you will be able to check out bocce balls from the Copper Queen Library, which is just awesome. The hotspot, mobile hotspot lending program is super successful. It had a few little bumps in terms of we actually have more people wanting them. So we have actually a long hold list at the moment, but in the next week, some of those bumps are going to be totally smoothed out. And it's just really great to bring Wi-Fi home with you. We do have 2 upcoming events that I wanted to mention. Tomorrow night, Richard Graham and his book Whispers from the Underground, which is prostitution and drugs in Brewery Gulch. It's an amazing book, and Richard, as always, does wonderful presentations. We're super excited to have him back tomorrow night. And our presentation for next week got canceled, but luckily, Rebecca Orozco, a history professor at Cochise College, is just back from a Fulbright. She was given a Fulbright to go to Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. And she will be joining us next Tuesday, the 24th, with a presentation of this trip. And as always, we love Becky Orozco's presentations. So the last thing I brought, I'll pass these to you, but the annex, I just wanted to give you an update on the Copper Queen Library Annex, which is right around the corner in the BUSD administration offices. And Jason has cataloged over 1,000.
Yeah, it's like 1,600 books.
1,600 items, new items. We have been receiving donations of people very excited about supporting the annex. We also have been spending the grant money that we had specifically for new collections and getting a little of everything, fiction, nonfiction, adult, juvenile, some DVDs, and just getting things in place. And one of the things that we have just completed, which I'm very happy about, is our sign painter, Steve and Suzanne Miller, who have done some other work for the City of Bisbee, and they, in fact, painted the City Park band shell for us 2 years ago. They have completed the Copper Queen Library Annex sign, so I will send you these around. It is hung now outside, so it's very visible. Steve and Suzanne they work for Ben and Jerry's corporate and have done large murals for them, as well as the work they've been doing here locally. They're excellent, and we're very happy. They're also wonderful patrons as well. So the annex, we were looking towards a September opening. I say that softly. We don't have a hard opening date. However, when we see these new applications come in and hopefully have a good group of people to interview, we will be one step forward, a big step forward, towards moving with having an extra body to facilitate. And Jason and I have already been doing a lot of work. I don't know if I've announced this, but we did receive our last big grant that we wrote and applied for, which is from Arizona State Libraries. It's called an LSTA grant, and we received $25,595 funding for the Copper Queen Library Annex. That includes $5,000 for a book drop, five computers, four public computers, and one library desk computer. Furniture, we are going to recreate the living room at the library on a slightly smaller scale with the Craftsman leather furniture, lamps, and then the children's library furniture with the children's sized. We're going to have a large lower craft steam table with chairs that both adults and kids feel comfortable in, but adults can also fit in if they need to. We've divided the space with some lower bookshelves that separate these kind of separate spaces visually. You can see over them so parents can see children, but it gives this really nice space in the classroom. And we're working with the CTE construction class at the high school. They will be, and the Bisbee Bloomers, they'll be building us two planters, a picnic table for outside, an additional shelving unit that wasn't completed last year. But the students, I just want to really, really thank Jason McCutcheon, the teacher, and all of the high school students who worked so hard building and Step Up Bisbee NACO and Grady Meadows, and Bill Bonnaker and the board of Step Up Bisbee NACO worked so hard, and people who made donations to this project, private donors, grants. I mean, the support is amazing. So moving forward, the next step is we're waiting until we get this furniture. We have to get the check and then buy the furniture. But before we have a hard opening, we're going to have a series of kind of open houses. In particular, I think the first one will be a volunteer open house, especially for the neighborhood, just for people who live here. But of course, it's open to anybody can live anywhere to come and volunteer for us. But to really introduce what this space is and what volunteering for the library would mean, and what the various duties are, and who's interested, and how we can organize that, as well as donations. And then we will have a larger open house that we will call we will ask to be called as a meeting for all of mayor and council to be invited, kind of a ribbon cutting, and we'll invite Doug Ducey and our Congress people and senators, as well as the Arizona State Library Board and Freeport MacMoran, who have been our big sponsors. And you guys are all invited as well. But we really want to invite everybody and their mothers and their children and everybody to come and see the space and enjoy it. If we can do that before our next quarterly meeting, I wanted you all to know that. Mm-hmm. But we'll be sending out stuff for that.
That sounds quite wonderful. Everyone has done a great deal of work to make that come together.
Really, and really have. We've yeah. had so much support, and we're very excited because this is for the community. And
the grant money to be able to buy nice furniture and all is just...
It's funny. Amazing.
Yeah.
It really takes a village. A lot of people put work into it.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Jason, did you want to give us a budget update?
Well, we're in our new budget cycle. I think the biggest update was the Allison moving up to 40 hours a week, and then the part-time Saturday person that was budgeted in. So we're looking good. We're already spending money for this year, so we're happy.
Okay, is there anything else that anybody wants to ask or bring up?
I have one more thing, actually, which is that I received a scholarship into the program, Arizona State Library Accessible Library Institute, every year, which is for library employees who do not have their MLSs. So it's a library institute to teach best practices and really huge variety of subjects. I spent a week in Flagstaff at NAU at the Library Institute in the beginning of June, and we learned so much. Library law, internet security. The main focus was on community conversations and community exploration. So I'm going to be starting a series of community conversations, which the main part of it, it really is a conversation, but you ask. The first thing is an ask. What do you want for? What do you want for your community? What do you want for your library? What do you want in your life? What do you want to be remembered for? A multitude of questions, but to really have a dialogue about how we can come together, see what we all want. I was trained in facilitation, although thinking I'm going to bring in another facilitator for this. And part of this was to also examine where you are in the library. These were librarians from all over the state, and I believe myself and a librarian from Huachuca City, we are the farthest. We traveled the farthest. The other thing that came up in that is a strategic plan. And while the city does its overall plan, we, the library, do not have our own strategic plan, which would, when you do a strategic plan, you can do a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. But we really looked at what a strategic plan would look like if your library doesn't have one, but also the real necessity for our library to have it, especially when you're looking at larger grants. In particular, grants, say, for a historic building that's a historic landmark that needs a lot of work, and how do you get those larger grants. So I would like to ask of the library advisory that you would consider being the entity to spearhead a strategic plan for the library. That, of course, Jason and I would do a lot of that work, and we would ask the Friends as well to participate. There are multiple aspects to that, but really to look at what are the top 5 goals for the next 5 to 10 years, what what are the most pressing issues, needs, and goals, and to really lay it out and see where we're at and create a document that we can then give to mayor and council whether they include that as its own document or they include it into the larger city plan. And Bill, maybe you have some thoughts on that, but I would really the library does not have a strategic plan, and I believe that it needs its own, it needs its own, particularly because it's a historic landmark.
Yeah. The city's going to start its own strategic planning here soon, I hope, and we're looking at a 5-year, 10-year time frame ourselves. And of course, you know, the library knows what the library knows, and it would be really helpful, you know, if we, you know, had that input. We'll wait and see what happens, but, you know, just to include your document in our document would probably be the, you know, the fastest, simplest way to do it, you know, instead of trying to just pick and choose. So, you know, when you have your document put together, it'll be some time before we get to it, but that would be helpful. It would be good if everybody did that. Yeah.
So maybe this could be included as an agenda item for the next meeting, and maybe the chair could send a, find out what that process would look like in terms of us working, you know, in conjunction with the city, so that we could do it in the right way, too.
That sounds good. And Bill, I didn't hear clearly the timeline on the city's strategic plan.
There is really no time frame at the moment.
We were
putting it off until we got the budget done for this year.
Uh-huh.
And now that the budget's done, I'll remind the city manager the next time I see him, and that we, you know, that the people are clamoring for a strategic plan, and we need to get on it. So we will be. It's coming up. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, we'll start doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Allison, did you envision something like work sessions with us and friends and Bill as a city representative, something of that sort?
Absolutely. I think a kind of a series of different aspects, so possibly a work session with the friends, a work session with the advisory, or maybe it needs more, but a survey for the patrons, a patron survey to include, and at least one community conversation held for the public at the library that would specifically focus on the patrons' vision and perspective of the library and where they see it moving forward. I think we're doing a really good job so far. However, we serve the needs of the community, and we want the community to tell us those needs specific to the strategic plan. So I would really like to hold at least one public conversation on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that, I don't know the parameters of how the city structures it, but it's possible that one could, a library advisory meeting could be also the agenda for that could be held that the public could be invited here specific and do call to the public for the community.
Yeah, because when we start the strategic planning, you know, it will be work sessions, you know, that mm-hmm. they'll be open to the public. You know, we're not doing anything behind closed doors.
Right. Okay, well, Allison, I look forward to working with you on that.
Wonderful, thank you so much. I'm really actually excited about this.
Anything else? Any other questions on
anyone have any questions on anything? Questions, concerns?
I have a question, Jason. What's our next meeting date? Do you know offhand?
That's a good question. It would be, let's see.
4 months from 3 months?
Yes,
from
so we're looking at October 15th.
Okay.
And I do have one announcement before we close. The Friends of the Copper Queen Library has two fundraisers a year, and one of those is Altered Books, which is the hands-down best art show in the city of Bisbee, beyond anything. The art created by the book artists in this city are amazing, and it is a silent auction. That is August 28th, I believe. Correct?
25th.
August 25th. And to prepare ourselves, Heather Green, artist, Central School artist, will be leading two workshops. It's a two-part workshop on the first and third Fridays of August from 12 to 2. And The Friends is kind enough to open their doors of the bookstore, the Friends bookstore, that if you need a book for an altered book project, you may go into the bookstore and ask for a book for free, and they will give you books.
All right. Very good. Okay, for the good of the order, we'll meet again October 15th, and I now call for a vote for adjournment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No. We are adjourned at 6:10.